Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. Today we are going to learn about a new prophet, and he was the nephew of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Can you guess the name? Yes, you are right. It was Prophet Lut alayhi salam. I hope you will like it. Now, listen carefully. Bismillah. The story of Prophet Lut alayhi salam. Do you remember what happened to Prophet Lut in the last episode? Yes, he got separated from Prophet Ibrahim and settled down in a new city. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Sarah left for Babylon, while Prophet Lut headed to a city called Sodom. Sodom was a city located on the western shore of the Dead Sea. The people living in Sodom were very evil. They were very selfish and cruel. They attacked the travelers passing through their town and took all their belongings. Because of this, the travelers were scared to go through Sodom. The men drank alcohol openly, and they committed many other crimes, including persecuting the poor. And above all this, the men and women in Sodom worshipped the idols. The prophet was sad when he saw the sins being committed openly. Without wasting any time, the prophet summoned the people to give up their indecent behavior. But the people had been committing these sins for generations, that they were deaf to his preachings. He warned them of Allah's punishments, but the people didn't care. Instead, they started threatening him.
"If you don't stop preaching, then we will chase you out of the city," they said.
The prophet was sad when he saw them continuing their way of life. Sodom was now renowned for the evil men residing in the city. This was known all across Arabia. The prophet continued with his mission in spite of being let down. No one cared about him, and they walked away whenever he started delivering God's message. Not even the members of his own family listened to him. After a while, the people started challenging the prophet.
"If Allah is the true God, then tell him to bring down his punishment. We are not going to change our ways."
When the prophet heard this, he was deeply saddened. Years went by, and the prophet gained no followers. And that's when Allah decided to send the angels to destroy the evil people in Sodom. The angels took the form of humans and first went to the house of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. When the prophet saw the angels, he didn't realize at first who they were. He thought they were travelers and invited them to his house. The prophet was living with his wife Sarah. They served roasted calf to the angels. Ibrahim alayhi salam saw that the angels were not eating the food. He was concerned and asked them the reason. It was then that the visitors informed the prophet that they were actually angels sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They told him that Sarah will get pregnant soon and that she will give birth to a child. The prophet and his wife were delighted to hear this news. The angels told the prophet that they should name their son Ishaq and that he would grow up to become a prophet as well. After delivering this good news, they left his house and headed to the city of Sodom. By the time they reached the city, it was afternoon. One of Lut's daughters was filling water from the river. She was stunned when she saw their face. It was so beautiful. She never knew that such handsome men existed on earth. the angels approached her and asked if there would be a place to stay in the city.
"Don't go anywhere, just stay here," she said. "I will bring my father, and he will guide you."
She ran toward the house to find her father. She was in a hurry. She was in such a hurry that she forgot all about the water jug.
"Oh, father,"
she cried,
"there are 3 young and attractive men at the town gate. I have never seen such beautiful faces before."
The prophet knew that if the local people saw them, they would be in trouble. So he ran to the town gate to meet the visitors. When the prophet saw them, he too didn't recognize the angels.
"Who are you?
And where do you come from?" he asked them. But they didn't bother to answer his question. Instead, they asked if they could stay at the prophet's house. Lut was confused now. He wanted to warn the strangers about staying in the city without offending them. Yet, at the same time, he wanted to extend his hospitality shown to the guests. He tried several times to convince them, but they insisted on staying in the city. He left the place, promising to return when it was dark. The prophet went back to the town gates when it was dark to bring them home. He didn't want anyone to know about them, and that is why he insisted to wait until it was dark. And finally, after much sneaking around, they reached his house. The prophet was finally relieved. His plan had worked. His wife entered the room, and she was shocked to see the strangers. She had never seen such handsome men before. You see, the prophet's wife was not such a good person, and she now planned to inform others about the visitors. She slipped out of the house quietly, without anyone noticing her. She ran to her people and informed them about the beautiful strangers at her house. The news of the strangers spread like wildfire. Everyone rushed to Lut's house to see the strangers. Lut was surprised when he saw so many people running towards his house. He knew that they were coming for the strangers. But how did they know about them? He wondered. It was then that he noticed that his wife was missing. He now realized that it was she who had informed them. He was sad that his own wife cheated on him. Lut had locked the door by now, hoping to keep the people away. But the people kept banging at the door. He pleaded with them to leave the strangers alone. He warned them of Allah's punishment. The evil people of Sodom were roaring with laughter now. The people soon broke down the door. Lut tried to stop them. He tried his best to defend his guests, but he stood no chance against such a crowd. He prayed to Allah to grant him the power to defend his guests. The angels saw that the prophet is now in a state of despair. It was then that they decided to reveal who they actually were. "Do not worry, Lut. These people will not be able to harm you. We are angels sent by our Lord." The prophet was stunned to hear this. And when the mob heard them, they knew they were going to be in much trouble. So they ran away as fast as they could. When the enemies were gone, the angels said to Lut alayhi salam, "You have to leave this town before sunrise tomorrow. Take your daughters with you as well. Do not take your wife, because she cheated on you." The prophet took his daughters and left the city before the sun came up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the destruction of Sodom when it was morning. At first, he sent the earthquake that rocked the city down. It was as if a mighty power had lifted the entire city and flung it down in one jolt. And then he sent a storm of stones that rained on the city. Everyone in the city was destroyed, including the prophet's wife. The town of Sodom was erased from the face of the earth, and no one survived except for the prophet and his daughters. Lut alayhi salam then visited Ibrahim alayhi salam and told him what had happened. But the old prophet already knew this. The angels had told him when they visited his house. The prophet continued to deliver God's message to the people for a long, long time. You see, kids, our benevolent Allah forgives our sins if we repent for our mistakes. But if we forget His words and commit sins, the punishment would be swift and severe, like what happened to the people in Sodom. In the next episode, I will tell you the story of Prophet Ismail alayhi salam, the son of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Keep watching our channel. If you liked the video, don't forget to click that subscribe button and stay updated on all our videos. Please tell your friends about the channel as well. That's all for today. Goodbye. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. Well, we learned about the destruction of Sodom in the last episode. Insha'Allah, I will tell you a new story today. It's the story of the son of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yes, we are going to learn about Prophet Ismail alayhi salam in this episode. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was a man chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spread his message. He traveled to distant lands and preached to the local people. He was thankful to God for all the favors he had received. But the one thing that bothered him the most was the fact that he didn't have an heir. His wife Sarah had grown old by now, and she had given up all hopes of giving birth to a child. She was sad for her husband, and then, one day, she came up with an idea. Sarah asked Ibrahim alayhi salam to marry their servant, Hajar radiallahu anha. Ibrahim refused at first, because he loved his wife so much. But she insisted, and finally, the prophet obliged. She then prayed to God to bless the couple with a child. Soon, Hajar radiallahu anha gave birth to a boy. The prophet named him Ismail. The prophet was finally happy. He was now a father. But his happiness didn't last for long. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the prophet to do something. So, he went to Hajar and asked her to get ready. "Where are we going?" she asked. "You will soon find out," he said. Hajar radiallahu anha trusted her husband, so she didn't utter a word and got ready for the journey. It was a very hot day. The prophet and his wife kept walking under the scorching sun. Hajar radiallahu anha followed her husband quietly, carrying Ismail on her shoulders. They kept walking for a long time in the desert, and most of their food and water was exhausted by now. They finally reached a valley near Al-Marwa mountain. It was a piece of barren land, containing no signs of life. Then, without saying any word, the prophet started walking back.
He left the mother and child alone in that barren valley. They only had a small amount of food and water with them. But that wouldn't even last for 2 days. Hajar hurried after him.
"Where are you going, leaving us all alone?" she shouted.
She called him again and pleaded him to come back. But the prophet didn't even look back, and he kept walking away. In spite of her cries for help, when she saw the prophet was silent, she realized that he was not acting on his own. She realized that he must have received commands from God to act in such a way.
"Did Allah command you to leave us in the desert?" she cried.
The prophet shook his head. Then his noble wife said,
"Do not worry. We are not going to be lost, since Allah who commanded you is with us."
The prophet continued walking without looking back. In a few hours, the food and water that Hajar radiallahu anha had in reserve got over. The baby soon got thirsty and started to cry. She wanted to see if there was anyone nearby, so she ran up a hill called Al-Marwa. She stood there and looked around, but she saw no one. Then she ran to the next mountain called Al-Safa, hoping to find someone from there. But she couldn't find anyone from there either. Then she ran back to the top of Al-Marwa, then again to Al-Safa. She kept running between these mountains 7 times. By the time she climbed Al-Marwa for the last time, she was very tired. It was then that she heard a voice. She kept quiet and waited to hear the voice again. She heard the voice for the second time, and she said,
"Oh, whoever you might be, you have made me hear your voice. Have you got something to help me?"
It was then that she saw an angel. The angel was digging the earth. The angel kept digging till water flowed from it. It was a miracle. When she saw the water, she ran toward it and placed stones around to build a basin. This place where the water rose is called Zamzam. Hajar radiallahu anha didn't go anywhere else and stayed at Zamzam. Days passed. Al-Marwa lay between a trade route between 2 towns. One day, a few traders were traveling through the desert. When they saw the birds flying around Al-Marwa, they knew the birds were there because of the water.
"Hey, look," one of them said. "Looks like we can find some water there."
Others agreed and walked toward Al-Marwa. When they arrived, they were surprised to find a woman. She was holding a baby too.
"Shall we stay here and use this water, please?" they asked her.
Hajar agreed, and they drank water from Zamzam. Many others arrived at Al-Marwa, and some of them eventually settled down there. In a few years, the whole valley came alive, with people from different cities living there now. Hajar and her child were not alone any longer. In the meantime, Ismail alayhi salam grew up. He learned Arabic from the travelers. People loved and respected him for his qualities. He kept thinking about his father, and he knew that his father will come back someday. Ismail then married a local woman and lived his life in peace. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was missing his son very badly now. It had been years since he saw Ismail. One day, he decided to go to Mecca to meet his wife and son. He traveled through the desert
and arrived at Al-Marwa. The Prophet was quite surprised when he saw all the activity at Al-Marwa. Last time he was here, there was not even a single soul living on this mountain. He knew it was all because of God and thanked him. He asked the local people about his wife, but they told him that Hajar had died some time ago. When the Prophet heard this, he was very sad. But then they told him about his son. Ismail was still alive. The Prophet was very happy to hear this. The news of his father's arrival reached Ismail. He ran to meet his father. When he met the old Prophet, he had tears in his eyes. He hugged his father, and he was waiting to meet him for such a long time. It was a happy time for both father and son, but the happiness didn't last for long. One day, God decided to test Ibrahim alayhi salam. One night, when the Prophet was sleeping, he saw a dream. In his dream, the Prophet saw himself killing his son as a sacrifice. When the Prophet woke up in the morning, he ignored it, thinking it was just a dream. But the next night, he saw the dream again. This time, he realized that this was not just an ordinary dream. It was Allah asking him to sacrifice his own son. The Prophet went to his son and told him about the dream. Ismail understood that it was an order from Allah. He was a man of faith and realized that he has to comply. "Do what Allah has asked you to," he told his father. The next day, the Prophet took a rope and a knife and set out for Mount Arafat along with his son. Upon reaching the top of the mountain, Ismail asked his father to tie his hands and legs so that he may not struggle during the sacrifice. The Prophet obliged and tied his hands and legs. Then he blindfolded himself so that he won't have to watch his son suffer. Then he raised his knife for the sacrifice, but suddenly he then heard a voice. The voice asked him to stop the sacrifice and told him that this was just a test. The Prophet was relieved. His son was going to be alive. They hugged each other and cried tears of joy, for they had just passed a difficult test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ismail alayhi salam joined his father in preaching to the people. They spoke about Allah and called people to Islam. One day, Allah ordered the Prophet to build a house for worship. The Prophet told his son that Allah had ordered him to build the Kaaba, and Ismail replied, "Do what your God has ordered you to do." They soon started building the foundation of the Kaaba. Ismail alayhi salam helped by carrying the stones, while Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam built the house. When the walls got tall, Ibrahim alayhi salam could not reach the top. So Ismail alayhi salam brought a large stone for the Prophet to stand on. This stone was called Maqam Ibrahim and can still be seen today. The foundation was soon completed, but there was a gap left in the corner. Ibrahim alayhi salam asked his son to find a stone to fill in the corner. "I feel tired," he said to his father. But when the old Prophet insisted, Ismail went searching for a stone. When he left, Ibrahim sat there waiting for the stone. But then a miracle happened. An angel flew down from heaven carrying a stone. The angel told him that the stone was brought to earth by Adam alayhi salam from paradise.
The stone was originally white, but because of the sins committed by people on earth, its color gradually turned into black. Ismail returned after some time, and when he saw the stone, he was surprised and asked his father where it came from.
"It was brought by someone who never gets tired," replied Ibrahim.
They had finally finished building the Kaaba. They prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their work. Allah was very happy with the Prophet and his son for spreading his message and proclaimed the pilgrimage among men. They will come to thee on foot and on every kind of camel. Lean an account of journeys through deep and distant mountain highways. Prophet Ismail alayhi salam lived for a very long time. He was 137 years old when he died.
Did you like the stories, friends? If you liked the video, don't forget to click that subscribe button and the notification bell to keep updated on all our videos. Please tell your friends about the channel as well. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum. Hello kids, how are you today? Are you enjoying our videos? I know you are. I hope you are learning a lot from our videos as well. Insha'Allah, today I am going to tell you the story of Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. Now listen carefully. Bismillah. The story of Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. Do you remember those angels who visited Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam? Yes, they informed the Prophet that Sarah, even though she was old, would give birth to a son. The words of the angels soon came to be true. Sarah gave birth to a son. The Prophet named him Ishaq alayhi salam. The son of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam grew up, and he was one of God's messengers as well. Ishaq alayhi salam got married to Rebecca, and they soon had twins. Ishaq alayhi salam named them Esau and Yaqub. The elder son was Esau, and grew up to become a strong man. He was a good hunter too. But Yaqub was more intelligent, and he was his father's favorite. The brothers fought with each other a lot. Esau disliked the fact that his father favored Yaqub more than him. Esau became more and more jealous as they grew. As Ishaq alayhi salam grew old, he started losing his sight. The old prophet realized that he was going to die soon. He felt like eating meat for one last time. So he asked his eldest son to hunt some wild meat for him. Esau agreed and went hunting for the meat. Rebecca, his mother, had overheard this conversation. She ran to her younger son, who she favored, and told him, "Slaughter 2 goats of your best flock and cook them as soon as you know your father will like. Go and do this before your brother returns." Yaqub did as his mother had ordered. His mother then asked him to put on his brother's clothes to make him smell like Esau. Then she covered his hands and neck with goatskin. She asked him to do this as Esau was very hairy. She also asked him to speak like his brother. Then Yaqub stepped into his father's room. "Who are you?" asked Ishaq alayhi salam.
"I am your son," replied Yaqub in a deep voice.
His father then started eating the food. Once he finished his food, he felt satisfied. The old prophet
then blessed Yaqub alayhi salam to be the better brother and to become the leader of his people. Once he got the blessings, he left the room. After some time, Esau walked in with the meat and entered his father's room. "What is this, my son?" the prophet asked when he heard Esau's footsteps. "I've brought you the meat you like." The old prophet was confused now. "Didn't you bring me the food some time ago?" he asked him. "I also gave you my blessings." "No, I did not," Esau said. It was then that he realized that his brother had cheated him. He felt so angry that he wanted to kill Yaqub right away. Rebekah saw that Esau was going to kill his brother. So she went to Yaqub and ordered him to go to her brother Laban in the land of Haran. She asked him to stay there until his brother was not angry at him anymore. Yaqub obeyed his mother and started his journey towards Haran. He walked by foot under the hot desert sun. One evening, he got very tired of walking and decided to get some rest. He took a stone and put it under his head and slept. That night, he saw an amazing dream. He dreamed of a staircase from heaven to earth. He saw angels coming down and going up the staircase. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Yaqub and this piece of land for his future generations. When he woke up, he realized that it was not just a dream. He had been really blessed by God. He took a vow that if he was ever to return to his family, he would build a mosque here for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also vowed to give 1/10 of his property to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He placed the stone he used to sleep on in order to recognize this place when he came back later. He poured oil on it. This place is today known by the name of Jerusalem. Yaqub then walked toward Haran. He walked for many days, and he finally arrived in Haran. Yaqub alayhi salam then met his maternal uncle Laban and introduced himself. When his uncle realized that Yaqub was the son of his sister, he was very happy. He invited him to his house and introduced his daughters, Leah and Rachel. The prophet didn't want to sit idle, so he started working hard for Laban. While he stayed at his uncle's house, he fell in love with his uncle's younger daughter. The prophet told Laban about his love for Rachel. "Work for me for 7 years," he said, "and I will let you marry my daughter." The prophet agreed. Yaqub alayhi salam worked hard for the next 7 years. Laban reaped the rewards because of the hard work of the prophet. His wealth had increased manifold by now. The 7 years were over, and as promised, Laban made arrangements for the wedding. He prepared a feast and gathered people for the wedding. But Laban cheated. Instead of Rachel, he got his elder daughter married to Yaqub. Yaqub didn't know about this, and he discovered the truth only in the morning. The prophet realized that he had been cheated. "You deceived me," he said to Laban. "I was engaged to Rachel, and you married me to Leah?"
"It was for a reason," said Laban. "It is not in our tradition to marry the younger daughter before the elder one." "However," he added, "if you love Rachel, work for another 7 years, and I will let you marry her."
Yaqub alayhi salam worked hard for another 7 years. And finally, he got to be married to Rachel. They lived together happily.
Did you like the stories, friends? If you liked the video, don't forget to click that subscribe button and the notification bell to keep updated on all our videos. Please tell your friends about the channel as well. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you enjoying our videos? I know you are. I hope you are learning a lot from our videos as well. Insha'Allah, today I'm going to tell you the story of Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. Now listen carefully. Bismillah. The story of Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam.
Ya'qub alayhi salam continued to work for his uncle for 20 long years. Laban's wealth had increased substantially because of the Prophet. But he was now missing his family very much, and he wanted to go back to them. One day, the Prophet asked his permission to return to his family. Laban agreed and promised him reward for working so hard. "Give me each speckled, spotted, and black lambs that were born this year," said Ya'qub alayhi salam. Laban agreed, and the Prophet walked away happily. But Laban had grown greedy by now. He was not willing to part with the sheep he owned. He asked his sons to take away all the speckled, spotted, and black sheep from the flock. When Ya'qub alayhi salam woke up in the morning, he realized that he had been tricked by his uncle. But Laban's trick didn't help him at all. When the sheep bred, most of them were born black or speckled. This was a miracle. When Laban saw this, he was angry. He had promised all the black lambs to Ya'qub alayhi salam. One day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet to return to his country. The Prophet asked his wives and children to start packing as they were about to leave Haran. He took everything that belonged to him, including the spotted and black lambs. The Prophet did not tell Laban about his plans. He knew that his uncle would trick him into staying back, and knew that his uncle would never let him take his share of cattle. When Laban realized that Ya'qub had taken his belongings and left Haran, he was very angry. So, he took his people and followed Ya'qub alayhi salam before they reached far. Laban and his team followed the tracks of the Prophet, and soon they caught up with him.
"Why did you leave without my knowledge?" asked Laban. "If you had told me that you were leaving, we could have celebrated this occasion with a feast, and I could have bid farewell to my daughters as well."
The Prophet somehow convinced his uncle, and they decided they will no longer interfere in the affairs of others. They sat on a hill called Galid, and they made a covenant there. It was decided that neither of them would enter the land of the other from that day. Then they cooked food and ate it together. Then each bade the other farewell as they departed, returning to their own country. The Prophet and his family walked, then started traveling towards his country. One day, at the break of dawn, the Prophet was sitting outside his tent. It was then that an angel appeared before him in the shape of a man. Then the angel started to wrestle with the Prophet. They fought neck and neck until the angel injured the Prophet's thigh and the Prophet became lame. The sun had started rising up by now, and the angel asked him, "What is your name?" Yaqub, replied the prophet. From this day you shall be called Israel, said the angel, and vanished into thin air. The prophet could not believe his eyes, and he realized that the man was actually an angel. The prophet and his family continued through their journey. When they reached the land known as Seir, he sent a messenger to Esau asking forgiveness. But the messenger returned with bad news. He informed the prophet that Esau was riding toward him with some 400 men. The prophet realized that his brother had still not forgiven him. He was afraid. So he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking his help. The prophet then prepared a great present for his brother. He asked his servants to take 200 goats, 200 ewes, 30 camels, and many other animals along with them. He asked them to go ahead before him. When you meet my brother, he said, he will ask you who you are, and you should say they belong to your servant Yaqub, and the animals are the present for his master Esau. The prophet waited for 2 more days and then rode toward his country. Esau met Yaqub's slaves, and he was very impressed when they delivered the message. He was happy that his brother was giving him so much cattle. And then Esau saw his brother approaching. Yaqub alayhi salam prostrated to him as a sign of salutation. Esau was very happy when he saw this, and he had tears in his eyes. He hugged his brother and sought forgiveness for being angry with him for all these years. "Who are these people with you?" asked Esau when he saw the women and children. "They were given to me by our God," said the prophet humbly. Leah, Rachel, the children, and all his slaves came and prostrated before Esau as a sign of respect. Esau refused to accept the gifts at first, but the prophet insisted, and he had to accept them at last. All of them started traveling back to their country, and they were led by none other than Esau. On their way back, the prophet camped near Jerusalem. It was here that the prophet had poured the oil on a rock years ago. He then built a mosque as he had promised. Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam had 12 sons in total, and Yusuf was among them. He grew up into a handsome and devoted man. They migrated to Egypt, and they lived there for 17 years. And after living and preaching about God for a long time, the prophet died at the age of 147. Did you like the stories, friends? If you liked the video, don't forget to click that subscribe button and the notification bell to keep updated on all our videos. Please tell your friends about the channel as well. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum. Hello kids, how are you today? Are you enjoying our videos? For those who are new here, please watch our previous episodes. They're really great. Insha'Allah, today I am going to tell you the story of Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam. Now, listen carefully. Bismillah. The story of Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam. There are different views about the family background of Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam. Some are of the opinion that he was the son of Noba, who was the son of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Some believed that his father's name was Boyab, while others said that he was the son of Mikil, who was the son of Yusayb bin Ibrahim, and his, Mikil's, mother was the daughter of Prophet Lut. Some said that Shu'aib's name was Shirun, and he was the son of Saikun, or Anka, or Sabit, who belonged to Prophet Ibrahim's family. While others believe he does not belong to Prophet Ibrahim's family, but his father had accepted Islam at the time of Prophet Ibrahim. Prophet Shu'aib lived among the people of Madian. He was one of the truly upright men living in Madian. The people living in Madian were mostly bandits and robbers, deceiving and stealing from one another. For the most part, they led a happy and prosperous life, earned from the bounties they stole. They always wanted more and more money, and they did all evil things to get what they wanted. They even started moving away from the one true God and started worshipping idols. They even worshipped the nature, thinking it was the real God. Some of them worshipped the sun. Some worshipped the moon. Some even worshipped the fire. As was the case with all the prophets of God. Prophet Shu'aib's mission was to call people to worship God alone and to follow his commandments. He tried to do so by reminding them of the graces showered on them by God. But the people didn't listen, and they told him,
"Why would you ask us to leave the religion of our forefathers?"
"Oh, my people," replied the prophet, "you have no other God but him." The people continued with their evil ways. They looted the people who were unfortunate to pass through their towns. They insisted on leading a life of robbery and injustice, even though the prophet did his level best to convince them of the punishment that lay ahead. Islamic historian Ibn Kathir tells us that the people of Madian were the first people to impose fees and tolls on the people who passed through their territory. The travelers were afraid of the people of Madian, and they would oblige to their demands, fearing their life. The people cheated with the scales and measures too. They never showed the true measure while dealing with people and cheated them. The prophet tried pleading with them several times, asking them to be honest in their dealings. But the people refused to accept his words. Prophet Shu'aib continued to remonstrate with his people. He insisted that he was trying to help them. But, as is the way with the disbelievers, they mocked and belittled the prophet.
"We will never make good profits if we don't cheat,"
one person shouted to the prophet.
"And the travelers are willing to pay toll for passing through our lands. Then why should we stop?"
asked another. The prophet tried to warn them of God's punishment. He pleaded with them again and again. But the people were getting really tired listening to him now.
"If you don't stop your preaching, we will stone you and throw you out of the city," they warned him.
The prophet did not lose hope even then. He preached to them during the day and the night. He reminded them that he was trying to do what is best for them and not for his own personal gain. The people had enough by now. One day, they attacked the prophet's house and took away all his belongings. They even dragged the prophet out of his house. They did the same to his followers as well. They were thrown out of the city.
"Oh, people," the prophet shouted, "change yourselves. Fear Allah."
Then one of the people said,
"Tell your God to send his punishment."
Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam had lost all his hopes by now. He wandered with his followers in the desert. He then turned to his Lord for help. The day of punishment finally arrived. The next day, the sun became extremely hot.
"Ah, the sun is scorching hot today," said the people. "There is something strange happening."
The people of Madian ran to their homes to escape the heat. The extreme heat lasted for 7 days. They tried to cool themselves with water, but the water evaporated quickly, leaving their skins exposed to the sun. The plants died one by one, the wells dried up, and the animals died of thirst. The people stayed indoors as they were scared to go out. On the 8th day, dark and gloomy clouds gathered on top of the city. When the people saw the dark clouds, they thought it was about to rain. One by one, the people ran outside to enjoy the rain. Everyone in the city were gathered outside by now. It was then that a huge lightning struck the city of Madian. People were dumbstruck. They didn't understand what was going on. Then came another lightning, followed by another, then another. The huge lightning caused the ground to shake, and people started falling down. Then came the rain of fire. The fire burned the houses to the ground. The flames burned everyone into ashes. Every evil person in Median was killed that day. It was exactly like how the prophet warned them. All the disbelievers were now destroyed. When the prophet returned to the city the next day, he was not surprised or sad to find everyone dead. He said he didn't feel sorry for the people, as he tried warning them many times. The people of Median had been fighting against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prophet continued to call people to Allah for a long, long time.
Did you like the stories, friends? If you liked the video, don't forget to click that subscribe button and the notification bell to keep updated on all our videos. Please tell your friends about the channel as well. Tomorrow, I am going to tell you another great story, the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum. Hello kids, how are you today? Today, I'm going to tell you the story of a very important prophet in Islam. The story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Now listen carefully. Do you remember the story of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam that I told you the other day? If you do, then you would know that he had two wives, Rachel and Leah. Prophet Yaqub loved Rachel the most, and she gave birth to two sons. The eldest was called Yusuf alayhi salam, and the younger one was called Binyamin. Prophet Yaqub had 12 sons in total, but he loved Yusuf and Binyamin the most. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was a handsome and smart boy when he was young, with polite habits and good manners. He had an excellent personality as well. Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam had a deep affection for Yusuf more than his other children. His brothers soon began to feel jealous of him. They wanted to get rid of Yusuf one way or the other. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam starts with the story of his dream. One night, the little boy had a real strange dream. When he woke up, he felt strange. So he ran straight to his father and told him about his dream. "Oh, father, I saw a dream. I saw 11 stars, the sun, and moon prostrating before me." His father listened attentively to the little boy's dream, and when he was finished, the father's face shone with joy. The old prophet realized that the dream meant fulfilling a prophecy. He told Yusuf that one day his 11 brothers and himself would bow down before him. The little boy did not understand what it meant. His father assured him that he will understand it later, and he also warned him not to talk about this to his brothers. The 10 older brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam were already jealous of Yusuf and Binyamin. Satan, who always loved trickery and deception, was now sowing seeds of discord between Yusuf and his brothers. The jealousy soon blinded their hearts. "Our father loves Yusuf and Binyamin more than us," said one of the brothers.
"That's true," said the other. "We must do something about it."
"We are older and stronger than him," said another. "Our father is clearly longed to love him more than us. We should kill him and get rid of him."
"I have another idea," said the eldest brother, who didn't want to kill Yusuf. "Let us throw him in a well. Someone would find him and take him along as a slave."
Without realizing that Satan was playing with them, they decided to go ahead with their plans. They asked their father to let Yusuf go with them while they worked in the fields. But Yaqub alayhi salam was scared.
"I am worried that the wolves might catch him," he said.
"Don't worry, father," said one brother. "We will take good care of him."
Even though Yaqub alayhi salam suspected something was wrong, he eventually let them take Yusuf with them as well. The brothers took Yusuf alayhi salam far away from home. As they neared the well, one brother held Yusuf from behind. Yusuf alayhi salam was startled.
"What are you doing?" he asked them.
Soon, the other brothers joined in holding Yusuf. Yusuf struggled to free himself, but the brothers held him tightly. Then, one of them removed his shirt, and once they removed his shirt, they threw him down into the deep well.
"Help me, my brothers," Yusuf alayhi salam cried. "I have done nothing wrong. Please don't leave me here."
But the brothers returned home, leaving the young boy in the well. On their way back, they caught a ram and killed it. Then they drenched Yusuf's shirt in its blood.
"Ha ha, now we can show this shirt as proof to father. We can tell him that the wolves took him."
The brothers then returned home weeping. When Yaqub alayhi salam asked them why they were crying, they replied,
"Father, wolves took our little brother. It was just as you warned us," said one of them.
Then they showed him Yusuf's shirt, drenched in blood. But Yaqub alayhi salam quickly realized that they were lying. He saw the shirt was not ripped anywhere. He knew that when a wolf attacks someone, it rips the person's clothing. The old prophet was a very wise man indeed.
"I know you are lying," he said. "You have made up this story."
Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam had no option but to trust God and turn to him with hope and patience. Deep in the well, Yusuf was terrified, and he clung to a ledge in the well. That night, both father and son turned to God in the deep darkness of the night. A mixture of hope and fear filled their hearts. The next day, a group of travelers going to Egypt stopped camped near the well. They decided to draw some water from the well. As they lowered their bucket into the well, Yusuf alayhi salam reached out and clung to the rope. The man was surprised by the weight of the bucket. He was shocked and surprised when they saw a child clinging to the rope. He called his companions for help. They were all amazed at the sight of this beautiful child who stood before them.
"What good news!" they cried together.
They were overjoyed as they knew that they could get a lot of money by selling this handsome boy. Not realizing the significance of this little boy, They chained him and took him to the slave markets of Egypt. The news of this beautiful boy spread fast, and people gathered in the hundreds to see him. It was then that Aziz, who was the chief minister, saw him. He sensed something special with the boy, so he paid a handsome amount to the traders and bought the young prophet. This way, God placed Yusuf alayhi salam into the home of the second most important person in Egypt. When they reached the palace, Aziz ordered the chains binding Yusuf alayhi salam to be removed. The young prophet was happy and relieved when he heard this. The chief minister then asked his wife to make his stay comfortable at the palace. Aziz promised the prophet that he will never be ill-treated at the palace, and warned him to never betray his trust. It was clear that God was in control of all the affairs here. It was not long ago that the little boy had to survive a whole night in a well, surrounded by darkness. He was now living with one of the most powerful men in Egypt. Yusuf alayhi salam grew into manhood in the house of Aziz. As the prophet grew up, God blessed him with wisdom and knowledge. The chief minister recognized these qualities and therefore put him in charge of the household affairs. Everyone who knew him, including the wife of Aziz, Zuleika, acknowledged the young man's beauty, honesty, and nobility. She watched him grow into a handsome young man and became more attracted to him as days passed. The prophet's beauty soon became the talk of the town. People thought him to be the most beautiful man alive. Zuleika was in love with the prophet, and she couldn't resist her temptations anymore. So one day, she closed the doors of her bedroom and tried to seduce the prophet. But Yusuf, alayhi salam, resisted her advances and sought help from God. "I will never betray your husband," said the prophet. "He has been good to me and treated me with respect." But the prophet's refusal only increased her passions. He tried to flee, and she raced him to the door. Zuleika reached for his shirt and tore it from the back. At that moment, the door opened and Aziz walked in. Immediately, even without a moment's hesitation, Zuleika tried to turn the situation around. She cried to her husband, "What is the punishment for one who had an evil design against your wife?" "It was she who already tried to grab me," the prophet tried to deny her. One of their relatives suddenly appeared and offered a solution. If his shirt was torn from the back, which it was, it meant that he was trying to escape, and she was running after him, tearing the shirt from the back. There was solid proof now. The chief minister was in a dilemma. He apologized to the prophet for the wife's behavior. He then asked the prophet to remain silent on the matter. The prophet obliged and didn't say a word to anyone about the incident. But the news of this incident somehow got leaked, and it became the talking point of the whole town. The women of the city began to talk about Zuleika's infatuation with her slave. People laughed at her wherever she went. Hello, kids. Did you like the video? Do you want to know what happened to the prophet after this incident? Then don't forget to watch the next episode. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and that bell icon to keep updated on all our new releases. If you liked the video, please share it with your friends as well. That's all for today. I will tell you the next story tomorrow. Goodbye.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for the next part of the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam? I know you are. Inshallah.
I will tell you the story of how the prophet interpreted the dreams of the pharaoh and became a well-respected figure in Egypt. Now, listen carefully. In the last episode, we saw how Zuleika, the wife of Chief Minister Aziz, got infatuated with Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam and tried to seduce him. The Prophet, being a firm follower of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, resisted her advances. When her husband arrived, she lied to him, saying that the Prophet had tried to attack her. Fortunately, one of their relatives arrived at the scene, and after evaluating the proofs, he concluded that Zuleika was lying. Aziz apologized to the Prophet and asked him to keep quiet about the whole incident. But news of this incident spread across town, and people started making fun of Zuleika wherever she went. The women in town asked themselves, how could she desire a slave and put her reputation in jeopardy? Zuleika couldn't bear this insult anymore. She decided to teach them a lesson by showing how irresistible the Prophet was. She then came up with a plan. She wrote a letter to all the noble women in town. She invited all of them for lunch at her palace. The women arrived. There was a beautiful table before them. Zuleika then asked one of her maids to hand them knives to cut the fruit. Then suddenly, Zuleika started speaking. "Listen, everyone," she said. "I have heard of those who say that I am in love with my slave." At once, everyone stopped what they were doing and fixed their gaze on the chief minister's wife. "I admit that he is a charming fellow. I do not deny that I love him, as I have loved him for a very long time." The women present were stunned. They did not expect Zuleika to be so open about the affair. Zuleika then started telling them about her infatuation. By now, everyone had finished the dinner, and the guests started cutting the fruit using the knife. It was then that Zuleika summoned the Prophet. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam walked into the hall gracefully, with his gaze lowered. "Raise your head," she asked. When the Prophet raised his head, the guests were dumbfounded. The Prophet's face was shining with angelic beauty. It reflected the innocence in his soul. They looked at him in wonder, without realizing that they were in fact cutting their palms. They were so absorbed by the angelic vision of the Prophet that they were bleeding. They were not feeling any pain at all. "This is not a mortal," said one of them. "He is an angel," said another. It was then that Zuleika spoke to them. "Look at your hands." The women were shocked to find that they were bleeding. "This is the man because of whom you are blaming me for. I do not deny that I tried to seduce him. Look at your hands. Don't you understand that you too have been enchanted by him? I tried to seduce him once, but he refused. If he refuses to obey my order again, then he shall be cast into prison." The Prophet remained calm and said, "I would rather go to prison than commit a sin." Saying this, he lowered his gaze and slowly left the room. Zuleika was ashamed. She knew that if the Prophet remained free, people would mock at her. So that night, she tried to convince her husband. Aziz loved the Prophet like his own son, but he also wanted to avoid scandals. Even though he knew that the Prophet was innocent, he ordered the arrest and imprisonment of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. The life of the Prophet is a perfect example of patience in the face of adversity. Throughout his life so far, the Prophet faced trials and tribulations with complete trust in God. Yet, here he was once again, in an extremely difficult situation. It was now time for the Prophet to face his third test. The Prophet spent most of his time in prayers while in prison. It was during this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the ability to interpret dreams. And pretty soon, everyone in the prison realized the greatness of the Prophet, and they all loved and respected him. He shared the cell with two other men. One was the cupbearer of the king, and the other was the king's cook. These two men recognized his piety and righteousness. The men woke up from their sleep. They are worried and scratched their heads. These men were having vivid dreams for the last few nights. So they decided to seek help from the Prophet.
"I saw a dream in which I was pressing wine for the king," said the first man.
"I dreamed about birds eating bread from my head," said the other.
"I will tell you the meaning of these dreams by midday," said the Prophet. Then the Prophet prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking his help to interpret the dreams. Then he called the cupbearer of the king and told him, "This is what my Lord has told me. You will soon be left free and will return to your service to the king." Then he called the cook. "Your dream means that you will be crucified soon." Yusuf alayhi salam then told the cupbearer and requested him to remind the king about him. The man thanked him and promised that he will inform the king about the Prophet. Like the Prophet predicted, the cupbearer soon returned to the king's service, but Satan started playing his tricks. He made the cupbearer forget about Yusuf alayhi salam, and the Prophet remained in prison for a few more years. It was during that time that the king of Egypt started getting strange dreams. The king dreamed he was standing on the banks of the Nile River. As he stood there, 7 fat cows emerged from the river. This was followed by 7 lean cows. The 7 lean ones then swallowed the fat cows. In the next dream, he saw 7 green ears of grain growing on the banks of the River Nile. They suddenly disappeared into the mud, and on the same spot grew 7 dry ears of grain. The king was shocked, and he woke up terrified. He summoned his sorcerers, priests, and ministers, and asked them to interpret his dream.
"Don't worry, your majesty. It is just a nightmare," said his minister.
"He is right. It is just a dream," said the sorcerer.
Like that, everyone arrived at the conclusion that there was nothing to worry about. It was then that the cupbearer remembered Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam from the prison. He told the king about the Prophet, and he rushed to the prison. He told the Prophet about the king's dream and asked him to interpret it. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam sought help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he explained the meaning of the dream to the cupbearer. It was like this. For the next 7 years, the kingdom will have a rich harvest, and there will be more than enough food for all. This will be followed by 7 years of drought, and there will be no water, and there will be scarcity of food all over the kingdom. When the cupbearer informed the interpretation to the king, he was really impressed. He asked the Prophet to be set free immediately. The Prophet was finally set free. When he arrived at the palace, the king was stunned to see this handsome young man. The king decided to test the Prophet's knowledge and asked him many questions. The Prophet remained calm and gave brilliant answers to each of the king's questions. The king realized that the Prophet was very intelligent. The king then asked the Prophet about the dream he had, and he wanted to know if there was any solution for this. The Prophet advised the king to start planning right away. He asked the king to store the harvest from the years of abundance so that it can be used during the times of drought. The king was really impressed. He decided that no other man would be able to do this task better than the Prophet. So he appointed the Prophet as the controller of granaries. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was responsible to guard the harvest for the tough times ahead. With this appointment, the Prophet became one of the most important people in Egypt. The wheels of time had changed by now. During the rich years of harvest, the Prophet took care of cultivation, harvest, and storage of crops. He carefully saved the food for the drought that lay ahead. The king was really satisfied with the work of the Prophet. The king had admired him and sought his advice on many other issues as well. Time passed. The years of drought arrived. It didn't rain for months, and water dried up everywhere. The plants and animals started dying all around Egypt and other nations, but the Prophet managed the affairs of Egypt so well that there was enough grain to feed the people. People from neighboring lands flocked to Egypt, where the Prophet was selling food at a fair price. The drought had affected the land where Yaqub alayhi salam and his sons lived. They had been starving for days without anything to eat. When they heard that grains were distributed in Egypt, they decided to go there and try their luck. Hello, kids. Did you like the video? Do you think the brothers will recognize the Prophet when they reach Egypt? Don't forget to watch the next episode to learn more. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and that bell icon to keep updated on all our new releases. If you liked the video, please share it with your friends as well. That's all for today. I will tell you the next story tomorrow. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? I know you are waiting to know what would happen when the brothers of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam arrive in Egypt. For those who haven't seen the previous episode, you can watch that using the link below. Insha'Allah, today I will tell you the story of how Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam gets reunited with his family. Now listen carefully. The whole of Egypt and neighboring lands were affected by the drought. When the brothers heard that grains were being distributed in Egypt, the brothers of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam decided to try their luck. They traveled for many days through the desert, and they finally arrived in Egypt.
"Look at that," said one brother. "It must be there that they are distributing the grains."
In the meantime, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was overseeing the distribution of grains.
"Thank you, Yusuf," said the king. "It is only because of you that Egypt was saved from the famine."
The Prophet told him that he only did what God asked him to do. It was then that he noticed his brothers standing in the queue. He immediately recognized them, and he was so happy. But the brothers didn't recognize the Prophet, even though he was standing right before them. The Prophet then thought about what his brothers did to him. He thought about that scary night he had to spend inside that deep, dark well. He decided to invite them over to his palace. When the brothers arrived, the Prophet treated them respectfully. He asked them questions about their family and homeland.
"We are 11 brothers, son of a noble prophet," they said. "We come from Canaan."
"But I count only 10 of you here," the Prophet said. "Are you lying to me?"
"We are not lying. Our youngest brother is at home, attending to our father's needs."
When the Prophet heard of this, his heart longed to meet his younger brother, Binyamin. The Prophet asked his men to hand them bags of grains and said, "If what you say is the truth, then bring your youngest brother and I'll double your rations. But if you do not bring him to me, then you better not try entering Egypt again," he warned them. The eldest brother assured him that they would return with their youngest brother after seeking their father's approval. The brothers thanked the Prophet and returned home.
"Father, please let Binyamin travel with us. We were denied some supplies because Binyamin wasn't with us. The controller of granaries has promised to give us extra rations if you let him come with us. But Yaqub alayhi salam didn't agree at first.
How will I trust you knowing what you did to Yusuf?
Once again, the brothers promised to take care of their youngest brother. The old prophet had complete trust in God and finally gave them permission to take Binyamin. He asked them to swear an oath in God's name to protect their younger brother.
Allah is witness to your pledge, he reminded them before they left.
The brothers thanked their father and left for Egypt, taking Binyamin along with them. Then they went to the palace of Yusuf alayhi salam to get the promised provisions. The prophet welcomed them happily and prepared a feast for them. During the feast, the prophet took Binyamin aside and told him,
Binyamin, I am your brother who was lost. Fate has finally brought us together. Binyamin was so happy to meet his brother. He cried tears of joy.
Shh, said the prophet. This must remain a secret. You should not tell anyone about this for a few more days.
Binyamin agreed, and he embraced his brother.
The prophet then gave the brothers provisions as he had promised, and then he asked one of his men to secretly place a golden cup in Binyamin's bag. The brothers did not suspect anything. They thanked the prophet for his generosity and set out for their journey. But suddenly, one of the soldiers stopped them.
Stop there, you thieves!
The soldier shouted. The brothers were confused. They didn't know what the soldier was talking about.
I'm sorry, asked one brother. Have you lost anything?
He asked.
We believe that you have stolen the king's golden cup.
But we don't know anything about it, said another brother.
Then another soldier arrived, and he was instructed to ask the brothers the following question.
What punishment would you give for a thief? He asked them.
As per the law of Yaqub, the one who steals must be taken as a slave.
The prophet did not want to punish them under the laws of Egypt. He wanted to take the opportunity to keep his brother with him. He longed to meet his father too, and that's why he planned this whole incident.
We shall apply your law instead of the Egyptian law. If we find that you were the ones who stole the cup, then the person who stole it would be taken as slave.
The brothers agreed, and the soldiers started searching their bags. As the prophet planned, the golden cup was found amongst Binyamin's bags.
You will be taken as a slave.
The brothers were shocked. The brothers were afraid of returning to their father without his beloved son. They pleaded to the prophet,
Oh, minister, take one of us instead. We promised our father to take care of our younger brother. Please let him go back to Canaan.
But the prophet refused all their proposals and took Binyamin to the palace. One of the brothers decided to stay in Egypt to watch over Binyamin, while the others went to Canaan to face their father. The brothers arrived home, and they gave the bad news to their father.
Oh, father, your son Binyamin has stolen. You may ask the people of the town and they will tell you. We are telling the truth.
But the old prophet had heard all this before, and this time he refused to believe them. He turned away from them and went to his room. Even though the prophet trusted God completely, he behaved just as any father would under the circumstances. He was overcome with grief and wept uncontrollably. The prophet wept continually for many days and nights until he became ill and lost his sight. The brothers could not watch their father suffer any more. So one day they said to him,
Oh, father, why are you destroying yourself in this way?
Pleaded his sons.
I complain of my grief and sorrow to Allah. I know from Allah what you do not know, the prophet replied.
He then asked his sons to go to Egypt once again and not to give up hope. The brothers once again arrived at the palace and pleaded with the Prophet to set their brother free. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam could not bear to see them suffer like this anymore, even if they had betrayed him. He looked at his family and could not keep his secret any longer. "Do you know what you did with Yusuf when you were ignorant?" he asked them. It was then that the brothers recognized Yusuf alayhi salam. They knew that only their brother knew about their secret.
"Are you our brother Yusuf?" they asked him.
"I am Yusuf," he replied, "and Binyamin is my brother. Allah has been good to us. Whoever fears Allah and is patient, He always rewards them." The brothers were now afraid. They remembered what they had done in the past, and they thought the Prophet would punish them.
"We have sinned, brother," they said. "Allah has certainly preferred you more than us."
"May Allah forgive you," said the Prophet. "He is the most merciful of the merciful." The Prophet then embraced his brothers and wept with joy. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam could not leave Egypt, as he had many responsibilities, so he asked his brothers to leave without him. He gave them his shirt and said, "Take this shirt of mine and throw it over my father's face. He will recover his sight. Then bring me all of your family." The brothers agreed and left for Canaan. It is said that Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam could smell Yusuf's shirt even before the brothers reached the house. He stood outside his house and said, "I can smell Yusuf in the air." The women in the house thought he had gone mad. The brothers finally arrived, and the old Prophet was waiting for them.
"I smell Yusuf in the air," said the Prophet. "Is it real or am I dreaming?" he asked them.
The bearer of the good news walked toward the Prophet and placed the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam over his face. It was a miracle. As soon as the shirt was placed, he got his sight back. The brothers knelt before the Prophet and sought his forgiveness. "I will ask the Lord to forgive you. He is all-forgiving and all-merciful," replied the Prophet. Then the whole family left for Egypt to meet Yusuf alayhi salam. The Prophet's happiness knew no bounds when he saw his father after such a long time. Then Yusuf alayhi salam placed his father on the throne. It was then that his father and all his brothers prostrated before Yusuf alayhi salam. "This is the dream that I saw when I was young," said Yusuf alayhi salam. "I saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon bowing down to me. My Lord has made it true." The king happily agreed to have all the family of the Prophet settle down in Egypt. The great power and responsibility did not distract the Prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He remembered and worshipped Allah all the time. The Prophet did not want to die the death of a king. He did not like to be gathered around the people of royalty. He wanted to die the death of a slave to Allah and to be gathered around the righteous. Yusuf alayhi salam, at the time of his death, asked his brothers to bury him beside his forefathers. So when he passed away, he was mummified and placed in a coffin until a suitable time to be taken out of Egypt. It is said that he died at the age of 110. Hello, kids. Did you like the video? I know you did. Don't forget to watch the next episode to learn more. Please click that subscribe button and that bell icon to keep updated on all our new releases. If you liked the video, please share it with your friends as well. Inshallah, I will tell you the story of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam tomorrow. That's all for today. Goodbye.